Now, I want us to get into something very peculiar and very specific. And I was really going to hope that you will be able to understand or comprehend the complexity of the message that I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to share it very simple, but the concept is complex. Say with me, the spirit of Assyria. Say with me, the spirit of Kadesh Barnea. Okay, so these are two topics I'm going to go on. Today we're going to do the spirit of Assyria. Kadesh Barnea simply means the spirit of going in circles. It's when the children of Israel came to the place called Kadesh Barnea, where it was there where the entrance to the promised land was denied to them. And they were ending up going in circles and circles. And that spirit has not left the body of Christ, where people end up going in circles and circles, and their life becomes a life of delay. Are you guys with me? But now the spirit of Assyria is a different spirit. This is what we call a parasitical spirit. It is a parasite. It is not a killer, it is a hunter. It finds you, and I'm going to explain out of scripture. Everything I teach and everything I preach, we do it out of scripture. It finds you, it latches itself unto you, and it will leave you with nothing, but it won't kill you. Are you guys with me? Now, some people might say, but you know, everything was being dealt with on the cross. If everything has been dealt with on the cross, why did Paul cast out demons still? If everything was dealt with on the cross, why did Paul explain specifically that we are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places? So there's a clear indication, although the battle was won on the cross, it needs to be enforced. Are you guys with me? The enemy is like a loose criminal, and he needs to be enforced. That is why when we do our They Shall Expel conference, we have a lot of preparation going up onto there. We're starting prayer tomorrow morning. I want to encourage you, get onto Zoom, get into, if you want to gather in groups together, you can do that as well. If you have the time, but we're going to do it from 5 to 8. Gather together in Zoom. We'll be on Facebook, but not always on Facebook. We don't want to make it too public. We'll just do Facebook to get people to Zoom. And it'll be a thing for our church where we will be praying from 5 to 8. Now, I know a lot of people have work and so on, but maybe you can make 5 to 6. Maybe you can make 5 to 7. And we do this month and we pray. The Lord said to me very, very specifically that we will not see power move without prayer. Now, you know, I'd hate the whole Zoom concept thing, but to drive to a venue to pray just takes so much time, and then we lose so much people. So I'm going to have a group of people that will be praying with me, you know, wherever you are, if you have a groups can come together, if there's prayer groups that can come together, put on Zoom. If you're alone, get onto Zoom, but get into the experience with us so that we can go into the depths of prayer. There's one thing that can sort your life out. It's the spirit of prayer. Being baptized with the spirit of prayer. I'm not speaking of prayer as a work. I'm speaking of prayer as something you want to do. That is when you're baptized with the spirit of prayer, with the spirit of prayer and supplication. Are you guys with me? No great man or woman of God has ever been used without a lifestyle of consistent and long duration of prayers to make contact with heaven until the touch of God comes on them. And they can walk out of that place and they can speak to the demon possessed and they can be free. Or they can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. There's no way that you can pray for something supernatural if you have not encountered the supernatural. There's no way you can set someone free. There's no way that you can cast out a devil unless you have encountered the one that empowers you. Unless you've had an encounter with Him through prayer. and he's revealed himself and made himself known to you, deposited power into you, so that when the enemy looks at you and can look and see, but this is somebody that has prayer deposited, that has prayer behind them, and they speak with a different authority. Are you guys with me? It is time that there will be generals raised up again, like Evan Roberts, that when his feet touched the ground of Scotland, that the Queen of Scotland would say and begin to shiver in her boots, say with a voice full of fear, when he would begin to get on his knees and pray, she would say, I fear the prayers. It wasn't Evan Roberts, it was John Knox, my apologies. I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Britain put together. Evan Roberts was another person that he began to pray so much at a very young age, probably around 17. Prayed so much until the whole country where he was in, I believe it was Scotland also, Wales. The whole Wales, the bars began to go empty. The horses couldn't listen to the people anymore because they were used to swear words. Because people were just falling under the power and getting saved. But why? What happens? It starts with somebody that gets into contact with heaven, that gets into contact with God, that gets into contact with the Almighty. A touch of God upon their lives. Where does it start? Killing the flesh and seeking His face. Are you guys with me? Some of you look at me like Adam on Mother's Day. Listen, when I got saved, I put so many hours into prayer. That's all I knew. I would pray 7-8 hours a day. That's all I knew. And I would fast and I would pray. And I first had to get delivered of my own demons until I then began to get free of that, and I could set other people free. I set other people free. But the prayer was a lot on my life. Worship was a lot on my life. I knew the word. I read the word from back to front. That's all I had. That's all I knew. And until a time came when I began to realize that I would just greet a normal person and their eyes would switch and another entity would speak through them. But you cannot get to that realm without prayer. Are you guys with me? I pray that you'll get a hunger for prayer. That this month, it might start off when you pray with us on Zoom like dead and like, your flesh is screaming out. Your flesh is going to moan and complain and swear at you and do everything. But if you can press through it, we all start in the flesh. We have begun in the flesh. And we move into the Spirit. That is how it works. You don't immediately start off in the Spirit. So that when we get to our conference, they shall expel conference. That there will be pure power. That whoever God decides to bring here, who needs to be set free or delivered, whether it be sicknesses, illnesses, deadly curses, deadly sicknesses, whatever it might be, demon possessed, that they'll be free. Because there's a people that carry the power of prayer. Are you guys with me? Become a people that'll say, I want to be so close to His throne. To become so holy and close and pure to His throne. It happens through a life of prayer. Nothing else. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. But prayer. Prayer with intimacy. Have your seats, have your seats. Are you guys with me? So, the spirit of Assyria, I want us to get into it. I don't have much time with you. And I want to get into the characteristics, where it develops from, how it comes upon a person, and then the weapons against the spirit of Assyria. As I said, the spirit of Assyria is a parasitic spirit. It latches itself onto you, and it feeds off you. It won't kill you, but it'll leave you with nothing. And the only thing you will realize is the symptoms of it. you'll realize that you once had something. Maybe you had a great job. Maybe you had a great business. Maybe you had a great house, great family. And now you're sitting in a two-bedroom apartment. Your family has abandoned you and you're left in rags. Or maybe you had a great job and it just something happened. It's like a train hit you, but you lost everything. You're not killed, but everything was taken away. I don't need a church to be ignorant on the devices of the enemy. Are you guys with me? I taught you when we cast out Jezebel, or when we do this, it doesn't mean that there's only one spirit of Jezebel in the world. No, there's a sphere, a plane. There's a plane of existence or a realm where demons operate in, and when they're operating in that realm, they are given the function of Jezebel. There can be thousands of them. So when they possess somebody, they can be in South America and they can be here, and the demon can both scream out Jezebel, because that's their function. That's why a demon can scream out Lucifer. It's their function. It's the spirit of pride. Assyria is the spirit of pride. When it comes upon a person, it brings in the characteristics of pride. The Assyrians were known as a people of pride. And it puts those characteristics in a person, that they are in a believer, that they are too proud to ask for help, or too proud to do something else, or to recognize their current state of existence. And what happens is they go down and down and down. So the spirit of Assyria is a parasitic spirit. It is a non-killing spirit, but it is a hunting spirit. According to science, as many of you know, a parasite do not aim to kill its host, but it lives off it. If the host dies, they will not be fed. Are you guys with me? So not all satanic spirits targets to kill. Many satanic spirits targets to leave you with nothing and take your glory. The spirit of Assyria is there to remove your glory, to steal your star of destiny. Is this going over your head? Because then I need to change the message. Okay. So let your face tell me you're enjoying it. Okay. And please, we need 85 million while we're at it. Okay. Now, we'll only do the serious calls once we find land. And then I'm going to do serious calls. If you want to backslide, you can backslide, leave the church. But I'm going to do serious calls, because I believe that the Bible says in Acts that they all shared and gave and laid lands and properties at the feet of the apostles, and the church exploded. And many of them returned 3, 4, 5 times back more. So we're going to be asking some serious givers once we have the land. I'm just preparing you. Once we have the land ready, and because we have to build. So you know, we are packed every Sunday, and a church doesn't get more than 70% full on any given Sunday. So an Assyrian spirit will strip you from your glory. What does it mean to be stripped from your glory? Satan has a glory, God has a glory, and you has a glory. You have a glory. You have a star of destiny. You have a horse of destiny. The Bible says, is it right for princes to be walking and their servants and slaves to be riding on horses? There are seasons and times in life where your horse of destiny is stolen by someone, and you wonder why you cannot enter into the place that God has for you. And once you have the revelation of what's going on, you can deal with it appropriately. That is why the word is there. Are you guys with me? So in the same way, the Assyrian spirit comes to take your star. The same way witches come to take your star. In the occult, what they do is they look for somebody that has glory on them, that has a star on them. What is a star? It is when their eyes are still shining bright. The innocence is still there. Destiny is still there. When you look at this person, you don't even have to be a fool to see that God is going to use them mightily. And the enemy targets them, puts them on a hit list. Not to kill them, just to remove their glory. Are you guys with me? But the scripture says, He has taken our shame and He has given us double honor and a double portion for our shame as He opened up the prison doors for us to come out. So there is a certain key and a revelation on how to get back the glory. Listen, maybe you were 5 years old. Maybe you were 15. Maybe you were 18 years old and a woman came and you appeared and a girl came and she slept with you. And everything in you knew you did not want to. What happened? Your glory was stolen right there. Your destiny was eliminated right there. Delayed right there. For some others that are here, it might come through witchcraft. Somebody put a spell or a curse on you, especially those in business. Do not underestimate if you have many employees and not many of them like you. They go specifically to remove your glory, which means it's time to recover back the glory that God has for you. To recover back the edge of the axe, and the axe head that fell into the river. To recover back the star of your destiny, the horse of your destiny that has been stolen and ridden by servants and slaves while you are a prince and a priest of the Most High God. Are you guys with me? And how do we reclaim these things back? Say with me, prayer. You have to have a revelation about what I'm preaching right now. And then you can take this message and go into prayer and say, I reclaim back my stolen and lost glory. So the Assyrian spirit takes your glory, steals your glory, and you feel like mislick every day. You just feel like there's no purpose. You once were on fire. You have these plans and that plans and these plans. There was a spark in your spirit. There was vision. And now it feels like there's nothing. Glory has been stolen. Are you guys with me? Go there to 2 Kings 18 verse 14. 2 Kings 18 verse 14. See, we have reached our capacity, which we can sit really here, which is almost 400 people this morning. And the only way we can go further is two services, which I don't want to do this year. We will try to get more chairs in. So please do not invite people. We can get more chairs in. But we'll go to double services next year. Not this year. So 2 Kings chapter number 18 verse 14. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria. I want you to listen to this. Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria. We are speaking about the spirit of Assyria. Assyria played a significant role in biblical history. I want you to understand this. As enemies of Israel and the nation that God used to punish Israelites for their unfaithfulness, He also used Assyria to display His preeminence over all other supposed gods and to demonstrate His mercy and His grace. Assyria was a key point in God's plan, but it was the enemy of God's people. So King Hezekiah here submitted to the king of Assyria. He submitted to the enemy, to the pressure that was on him. King Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria at Lachish, saying, I have done wrong. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. Listen to this. Just get away from me. I will pay. I'm submitting to you. I'm sorry for what I've done. He forgot his, he lost his glory. Now listen what happened. Turn away from me. Whatever you impose on me, I will pay. And the king of Assyria assessed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So he asked of him 3 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. I want you to see this. Are you guys with me? The Spirit comes to bring poverty and to remove the glory from the house of God. First, to remove the glory from Hezekiah, but then to remove the treasures, the finances, the prosperity from the house of the Lord. Are you guys with me? Dear Lord Jesus, please help me. Some of you just sit. There's a few characters that looks angry at me. It's okay. Jesus loves you. Say with the characteristics of the spirit of Assyria. I want to share this with you. And if you see this in your life, you will know what to do. We're going to give you the weapons. Listen, life is spiritual. Are you guys with me? Life is spiritual. Whether you like it or not, your eyes might see the natural. This natural you're seeing is inferior to the spiritual realm. Anything seen has not been made by the things that are seen, the book of Corinthians says. It is made by the things that are unseen. So there's another dimension, another realm that is superior to this realm. It is the unseen realm. Once you have the ability to see the unseen realm, you can, through what we call Yetzer, bring that into the natural. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Which means that if God promises you a house, He will allow you to first see it in the spiritual. And the moment you begin to see it, and if your eyes of your spirit is enlightened, so that you can see the promise of God, the house that He has promised you and your family, in the spirit, it is your responsibility right now to bring it into the natural, which comes through prayer. Which comes through praying at the Word of God, declaring the promises of God which He has already promised in His Word, reminding Him of His promises. And before you know it, that house will manifest. Listen, have your seats. What I'm speaking and preaching to you, I'm not a pastor that is speaking to you out of ignorance. We have done these things. There was a property that I remember was my wife and I's dream property. The style of property, it was a dream property. And we wanted to buy a house. And I thought now's the time to tell it. And we wanted to buy a house. And all the banks said, fraud, money laundering. Because if you're now a prophet, you're just money laundering. Literally, we get an email. They won't even look. There's some in money laundering. Every bank just came back, no. But all my employees can get bonds. And I'm thinking, what cruel country are we living in? I began to get upset with God because I said, God, I've given you all these years. I've worked, I've labored, I've never asked for a thing. I never even knew there was blessings in the kingdom of God. I just want a house. I just want a mortgage, a bond. I'll pay it. You know? Nothing happened. And we applied for one beautiful house and it fell through. Then we applied for another beautiful house and it fell through. And then our accountant, you see, when I say life is spiritual, then our accountant wrote an email to the bank, but accidentally sent it to us and said these words. I was out for prayer retreat because Jezebel was on me like you cannot believe. And I said, I will not see my wife. I will not see my kids. I will not see my staff. I was in the mountains. Plenty of people said I slept with women there, whatever. And I was in a lodge. I don't know who paid for it. All I know is I was not leaving there. And I prayed from every day. I prayed for this spirit to be exposed. And then I got this email after like 2 weeks, I think. I got this email. I want to explain to you that life is spiritual. And the email said, the accountant said to the bank that, and accidentally emailed me and said that they do not believe I deserve this type of house, and that that I cannot afford this type of house, to the banks, and then did a lot of fraudulent stuff on my financials. Fraudulent stuff that we fixed. We had to fix it afterwards, but the damage is done, because if the bank picks it up, it's like this, it's done. Damage is done. And then I was more heartbroken. And this was about 2020, July. I remember there was a time I was just gone for like 3 months. And because I had to fight a personal battle, I had to fight a thing. And then we went to look at a very small house. Very small house. And as we looked at the small house, it was nice, not knowing that the investigating journalist was going to be my neighbor who was trying to investigate me. I didn't know that. Okay. So so we looked at this house, but it was very small. We have two daughters. It was just so small. I didn't even have a study. Didn't feel comfortable, but you know, if that's all we can get, we'll take it. And the guy says, no, let us just go show you another house that we built, a bit of a bigger one. Just want to show you the interior so you can see how the interior looks in this one. So we went to that one. And as we walked in, it was like our dream house. And my wife said, no, you know, this is the house. I said, no, we cannot afford it. No, but believe, and you preach faith. I said, no, we cannot afford it. I said, we cannot afford it. It's ridiculous. We cannot afford it. You know, and but I made a vow to the Lord, and I said to the Lord, so there was a deal we could do on the house where you put surety down, and then they give me 3 months, a big surety, by the way, millions, and then they give you 3 months to get a bond. And if you don't get a bond, then they take the surety. So I did that deal because everybody assured me we're gonna get the bond, and lo and behold, the bond didn't come. So I was going to lose that. And then I asked him for 2 months extension, and I prayed and I made a vow, and I said to the Lord, I said, I want the house, I want a full bond, I want this. And I gave three things that I want, and I gave three conditions, and then I said, I will do these three things for you. You see, the power of a vow. Within 3 weeks, the house was settled cash. No one gave me gifts. I want to say this. No one gave me gifts. Please, please understand. No millionaire came and said, yes, 2 million, yes, 4 million. No. No one gave us gifts. It maybe happens to other preachers. It doesn't happen to me. Okay? A prophet is not known in his own hometown. So it didn't happen. I had to take all my savings. I had to take all my stocks. Then I had to do a business deal, which someone helped me with, and I did a business deal. And then there was like 2 million short, and it's in a private trust account. There was 2 million short for the transaction to go through. And before we, and a month later, we looked again, and the 2 million was no longer short. It was just in there. Nobody knew the bank account details. Nobody knew those things. But I labored for that. I labored for that in the spirit. And it's not that we are living in opulence. Please understand. If you see us, a small little farmhouse, okay? It's not that we're living in opulence or anything like that, but it was something that was our heart's desire after 15 years of ministry. And but we had to bring it from the spiritual to the natural. Life is spiritual. And the forces that came against us just for owning a building. Now I can't even begin to imagine the forces that will come against the church for owning a building. We own Krugersdorp, but to go big in Centurion of 85 million, the forces that will come against you, because the moment you do, you become a landlord. You own, you become a flagship in the city. You can change what the mayor's decisions is. This church we will build will change the decision of the mayor in the city. So please understand that. It will be a flagship church. Whether we wait 3 years or 5 years, it's going to be done. So understand that when we speak of the spirit of Kadesh Barnea, the spirit of Assyria, life is spiritual. And if you don't understand that life is spiritual, you will always be living or walking with a crutch, not having full victory, because you won't be able to discern everything perfectly, and you'll never dissect or discern the symptoms. But if you can know, but wait, this problem. So for example, I was bitten by a spider last week. I don't know what it was. It was, if it was a black widow or something, but I felt like I was dying. And I eventually went to hospital. That's why I couldn't preach. So I had a fever of 41 and so on, but for long. And my muscles went into paralysis and all those things. And I went into hospital, and the hospital says to me, no, it's meningitis. They need to give me lumbar punches now. And something rose up in me and said, they are wrong. So I said, you are wrong. They said, you will die if you don't do this now. I said, I'm not going for this. I said, get me in the car, I'm leaving. And I got in the car and I left. And I said, give me 5 days. Just give me 5 days and we can do bloods again. Because my bloods was very bad. I said, give me 5 days and we can do bloods again. They gave me 5 days. I was on a drip at home and etc. And I did bloods again and it came back down to normal. And then there was a decision I had to be made. I had to be somewhere. And God allowed this to happen so that I don't have to be there. Because if I was going to be somewhere, something bad was going to happen. Please understand, life is spiritual. So where were we? So listen to this. So the characteristics. So the characteristics of Assyria, spirit of Assyria, is number one, poverty. So the poverty. Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord. The Assyrian attack comes to deplete the church of its finances. The Assyrian spirit comes to devour your finances. The first thing he comes for is your finances. He wants to make you walk around in rags. And make your glory, take your glory away. Wherever the glory of God is, the silver and gold follows. So when you walk in the glory of God, guess what? Silver and gold will follow you. Get His glory on your life. Silver and gold will follow your footsteps like this. Number two, the spirit of Assyria will bring disfigurement. Disfigurement. The Bible says that they stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars. The doors and the pillars were stripped of the gold to meet the demands of the Assyrians. The doors are evangelists and the pillars are tithers. The first thing the spirit of Assyria comes for in the church is evangelists and tithers. Are you guys with me? Those who tithe, those who evangelize, the spirit of Assyria comes for them to say, listen, this month is not a good month, or you've been tithing so long. No, there's a parasite living off that. He feeds off that energy. He feeds off that substance that you have to keep himself alive. There's a suppression of revelation. Say with me, suppression of revelation. 1 Kings 18 verse 17. Let me read this. 1 Kings 18 verse 17. It says, and the king of Assyria sent the Tartan, the Rabsaris, and the Rabshake from Lachish with a great army against Jerusalem. So Assyria sent a couple of people and armies against Jerusalem to King Hezekiah. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. When they had come up, they went and stood by the aqueduct. Listen to this. An aqueduct is something that brings fresh water from the upper pool, which was on the highway to the fuller's field. Now listen to this. It says, and in 2 Chronicles 32 verse 2, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, Hezekiah cowardly backed down again. He consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. The spirit of Assyria, once it comes into a church, it will block revelation and the flow of revelation. It will suppress revelation. It will suppress your spirit from receiving revelation. You will feel like maybe 4 months ago, you could jump up in the church and understand that it could feed your spirit or your soul, a message that was preached. And now 4 months later, it's like, I'm just sitting in the back, moving a bit more and more to the back. And there's no more that there's a suppression of revelation. Are you guys with me? Water is a symbol of the word of God. So Hezekiah stopped the water supply out of fear, and revelation was suppressed. If you want to see revelation depart from your life, have fear. Are you guys with me? Another characteristic, it is a delusion of a God attack. Listen to this. The spirit of Assyria, when he attacks you, it will be a delusion that it is God that is attacking you. Or it will bring a delusion to say, God is making me go through this moment. Go through to 2 Kings 18 verse 25. 2 Kings 18, 25. Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. I'm going to read it again. Have I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. And Hezekiah became confused here. You see, the Assyrian claimed apostolic authority because this attack follows deeds of faithfulness. The church may labor under a misconception that God is attacking the church. Or let me put it in this way. You may be under a misconception that the attack against you is God. I am sick because God is doing this. I don't have a job because God is doing this. God does not punish his people. God disciplines his children. Discipline is done in love. Punishment is done in hatred. God does not punish. He disciplines with his hand of love. Are you guys with me? Always understand right doctrine and right theology. So another characteristic is undermining this spirit. The spirit of Assyria is undermining the man whom God appointed as authority. Let me read it to her. Undermining the man whom God appointed as authority in the house or in the church. 2 Kings 18 verse 29. Put in 2 Kings 18 verse 29. So listen to this. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Now he's speaking about their king. Are you guys with me? Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Saying, don't listen to Leon anymore. All the stuff of prophecy, of this, of taking Centurion or taking South Africa, it's never going to happen. It is just clouds without water. Verse 31, do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me. And every one of you eat from his own vine and everyone from his own fig tree. And every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern. The set man was supposed to bring prosperity and protection to the house. You see, Hezekiah messed up bad. And we see this when Isaiah said to Hezekiah, get your house in order. Because you have so many years left, then God is going to... And then we see how Hezekiah repented. But Hezekiah was supposed as a king to make his people prosper. You see, when we are in a church, we are kings and priests unto God. The doctrine we preach, the word we teach, the atmosphere we cultivate and we allow into this place should make you eventually receive breakthrough. Your life should have a progression that goes up. You can go to other churches, and I've traveled to denominational churches. Dear God, you walk into that church and you feel like you're walking into a funeral. They even wear funeral clothes. They wear rags. Dress nice. I heard a church pastor say, no, you know, we dress the cheapest. In our church, we dress the cheapest because we don't want to offend anyone. I said, brother, never invite me. Because there is a place where you become a witness for Jesus Christ. He wore a fine linen, a sin without sin on the cross, which means it was a robe of royalty that he was carrying. Dress as if you are the perfect witness for Jesus Christ. Don't dress or live how your life was before you got saved. No. When there's a change inside, it begins to come on the outside. You see, we as white people, let me just give you this little, have your seats, pride that white people have. I will dress the way I want, you know. I will dress like this. Well, you do your thing. God will use me the way you lack scriptural understanding. When a messenger was sent from a king to another king to relay a message, that messenger was dressed like the king, spoke like the king, walked like the king, behaved like the king, had royal manners like the king. Had the etiquette of royalty. Everything about him spoke of kingship so that the message could be portrayed correctly. Are you guys with me? So I will never apologize. So many people say, so many preachers say, oh, you know, that Leon and his clothes. I had one preacher say that Leon and his clothes, and they dressed more expensive than me. Religion is a sick spirit. It'll deceive you so much. I'm not saying you must go and buy Versace and do all these things. I'm speaking. There's a lot of... I'm not speaking of that. I don't wear Versace or anything like that. I wear a Boss, Hugo Boss shirt. And we won't say the other things. And... But I wear a Hugo Boss shirt. But I don't. I'm not saying people must go and get into debt. What I'm saying is, be a representative of Christ when He has touched your life. That when you walk, that people can see. But you see, the Bible says that Joseph, when he was taken out of prison, he shaved himself, and he was handsome when he stood in front of the king, good looking. David, when he came in front of the king, he was handsome. He was looking after himself. The man that was delivered from the madman of Gadara, he was sitting clothed in his right mind. You see, why am I saying that? Because just making a change like that will already shift something in your mind and in your spirit. When Joseph was walking around in his father's dream coats, he was walking around, he was wearing his father's dream coat, which was an expensive royal coat. And his brothers hated him for it. When they looked at him, they said, "There, the master of dreams is coming again. He's going to tell us all his dreams again." And they began to hate him so much that they threw him into a pit. Why? Because he was walking the way his future was. He was dressing the way his future was. He knew that one day he would be next to a king. He knew that one day he would be a ruler of the highest. He was walking and dressing and talking that behavior. If you want to make the devil afraid, live your future today. Are you guys with me? Don't wear cheap pep stores, cheap. No, man. I'm sorry I'm going off on this thing right now, but have your seats. When you're saved, there's an inheritance that comes to you. There's an inheritance. People are like, I'm humble. No, that's a fake humility, which is actually pride. Be yourself. Represent Christ. Are you guys with me? So, I don't know where we were right now, undermining the man of God who appointed as authority. So, they undermined Hezekiah. You see, when a set man is not undermined, and there's honor in the place, and there's not familiarity, a church can change a city. A church can change, can make a city prosper. A church can make you prosper. Right spiritual atmosphere will make you prosper. When right doctrine is preached, when the prophetic is preached, it'll make you prosper. Wherever we are right now, our next characteristics is a threat to miscarriage the vision. A threat to miscarriage the vision, to abort the vision. 2 Kings 19 verse 3 says, "And they said to him, 'Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth.'" There's no strength to bring the vision forth. So the vision is being aborted. The Assyrians comes to abort the purpose of God upon your life by stealing the glory of God. What are other characteristics? Just general characteristics. It clears away your virtues. It results in a lost glory and beauty. It makes you to have the temple without the gold and a palace without decoration. It allows you to stay alive but to forfeit all your glory. It reduces you to shame, full skeleton of your royal past. It reduces you from silver and gold to wood and stones. It reduces you to the ugly shadow of your glorious past. It gives money without peace. I'm going to say it again. It gives money without peace. It brings all kinds of infirmities that you will spend money on. And after the infirmities, your money vanishes. It takes away all the glory but leaves you to stay alive. It turns clothes to rags. It brings problems that make you to go beyond the limit of your resources. It turns somebody to a beggar to solve their problems. It makes you labor without reaping the fruit of the labor. You will work and work at the sweat of your brow and toil, but you'll never see the fruits. It makes people eventually poor. It creates debts that you never owe. It takes people from grace to gross. It removes you from the place of honor that you had. It downgrades and demotes you. It converts kings to servants, and princes to walk, and servants to ride their horses. Are you guys with me? Let me give you four weapons quickly against the spirit of Assyria. Number one, say with me, the weapon of a rumor. Say it again, the weapon of a rumor. God can send a rumor to your enemy about you. Is jy wakker? Okay. God can send a rumor. What rumor? They want to fire you at work. And all of a sudden a rumor comes and says, you know, anybody that fires or touches that guy or fires that guy, there's some witchcraft stuff on him. They lose their jobs. The boss is so scared. You get back to work. You don't know what's happening. They treat you like royalty. There's a rumor that has been spread, and God allows it to favor His people. Where is it in Scripture? So the weapon of a rumor. 2 Kings 19 verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus says the Lord, be not afraid of the words which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and he shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. It is a strange weapon God uses to fight the Assyrians, and it is called the weapon of a rumor, meaning that your Assyrian and the spirit of Assyria will come down by a rumor that will be spread. Because you are in a prophetic church, we have the right to prophesy a rumor that can cause your enemies to turn around, that can cause your enemies to begin to bless you, that can cause your enemies to have a dream of something about you, that they cannot fire you or let you go. It is God's rumor. Listen, a rumor was used as a powerful weapon when Saul was hunting David. God used that rumor to fight Saul when he was pursuing David. Are you guys with me? God used the weapon of a rumor to divert the attention of Saul from pursuing David. I'm not going to get into the scripture for the sake of time. To divert a pursuit. Any enemy that is pursuing you, any family that is pursuing you, you pray and you use the weapon of a rumor. And you say, God, by the fact that I'm your child, and you see the injustice that has been done against me, send a rumor into the camp of the enemy, into those who are chasing and pursuing me, and let a diversion take place. Are you guys with me? And then we see with the Assyrians, for the Lord had made the host of the Assyrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, the king of Israel had hired us against us, the king of the Hittites. And the kings, and it goes on and it says, and they fled for their lives. The rumor of God was able to do what the whole army of Israel were unable to do. Let's get into the second weapon. I need to finish. The weapon of the voice of God. Say with you, the voice of God against the spirit of Assyria. Which means that if the spirit of Assyria is upon your life, you hear the voice of God. You speak the voice of God. Listen to Isaiah 30 verse 30. It says, the Lord will cause His glorious voice to be heard and show the descent of His arm, with the indignation of His anger and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempests and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with the rods. Meaning by the voice of the Lord, every spirit of Assyria over your life that has come against your finances, that has come against your job, against your clothes, against your mind, against your health, against your sickness, against your family, will be beaten down by his voice. Have your seats, have your seats. Then we see the third weapon. I'm going to just paraphrase this one for the sake of time. It's the apostolic and the prophetic. Why do you think I always invite apostles? Always. Because it's the apostles and prophets that is God's secret arsenal. Are you guys with me? We see with the king of Israel and Elisha. Listen to this. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel saying, so Elisha sent to the king of Israel saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. And we see how this story went, and the Syrians lost the battle. Verse 12, and one of his servants said, and so the Syrian, the king of Syria wanted to know, but what is happening? Do we have a spy in our midst who reveals our plans? And verse 12 says, and one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So you see the prophets and the apostles dealing with the spirit of Assyria. I can go to Joash and Elisha with the beating of the arrow. I'm not going to get into that. Also the prophet and the king. The fourth weapon, to close off with this one. So with the word of God. The weapon of the word of God. Isaiah 31 verse 8. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of man. Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of man. And a sword, not of mankind, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword. Of his young men shall become forced labor. He shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Meaning your Assyria, the parasitic spirit, will come down that has stolen everything. Let me tell you how a parasite spirit looks like. It sits on your back like this, and it makes you downcast. It makes you moping. It makes you complaining. It feels like it's draining energy out of you, because every food or sustenance you eat, it takes it from you. It lives off you like a host. Are you guys with me? That whatever the enemy has desired against you, say with me, the weapon of a rumor, the weapon of the voice of God, apostles and prophets, and the word of God will beat down Assyria. I prophesy to your situation. I prophesy to your house, to your family, to your belongings, to your job, to things that has gone sour, to people who have lost cars and lost houses and lost properties, to those who had a former glory, but the latter glory is not greater. It is illegal, for the word says the latter glory shall be greater than the former glory. I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Ghost that the spirit of Assyria is coming down by the voice of God, by a rumor that is sent into your situation, a rumor that is sent into your workplace, a rumor that is sent into a place of your family and friends where they wanted to bring you down. May your glory be returned. May your destiny be returned. May the horse of your destiny be returned. May the star of your destiny be returned. May the lost glory be recovered. Come on, give Jesus the biggest praise offering.